My title today is called Superpower. Turn to your neighbor and say, do you have superpower? Do you have superpower? Superpower. Do you know, as all of us at some point in life has said, if I was to be given a superpower, this is what I would want. All of us, we've had this conversation probably at least once, twice, and if you haven't, I'm sorry, we can have it after church, but if you were ever ask yourself or ask your friend, what kind of superpower would you want? Do you know the number one superpower today in 2026 that people would want? The power to heal a loved one. It's crazy, because 15, 20 years ago, it was like to fly, invisible powers, the ability to see through all kinds of crazy stuff. But today in 2026, interestingly enough, 2026, the number one superpower that people want is the ability to heal others from injuries and illness. Second superpower, time travel, invisibility, flight, teleportation, mind reading. Crazy though, the thing to me though is that the number one on top of the list is the ability to heal. Superpowers. I don't know if any of us are into superpower movies. There's the Avengers, Spider-Man, X-Men, Superman, Wonder Woman, The Matrix, Ghost Rider, Thor, Jumper, Bruce Almighty, Captain America, on and on and on. And how many movies have been made with one person or maybe a group of people that have been given the opportunity to have superpower? Good versus evil. Light versus darkness. Why? Why is it, I ask myself, so popular and such a desire within every one of us to be able to have one superpower? Well, I don't know if you knew this, but we all have superpower. Just not all of us use it. And with that, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 14. Bump your neighbor one more time, say, you have superpower? Superpower. Matthew 25, 14. And it says this, again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing in proportion to their abilities. Then he left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money, and he earned 5 more. Verse 17. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver, he dug a hole in the ground and he hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest and I've earned, here, look, 5 more. Verse 21. The master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I'm going to give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. The servant who had received 2 bags of silver came forward and said, Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 2 more. The master said, Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I'm going to give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. Then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, Master, I knew you're a harsh man. You harvest crops you didn't plant. You gather crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back. And the master replied, You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew that I harvested crops I didn't plant, gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have got some interest on it. Then he ordered, Take the money from this servant, give it to the one with 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they're given, even more will be given. They'll have abundance, but from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You might be thinking today, okay, it's Communion Sunday, it's Resurrection Sunday, and what in the heck is John talking about? Our theme and our topic today is superpowers, so just keep that in mind. But we will get to Resurrection Sunday, I promise. But I wanted to start with this. This parable today, it unlocks and it gives. There's different keys that are vital and important part of life. To see this parable in a few different lenses this morning. And number one, to see through the lens of eternity. Eternity, what is eternity? Eternity is at some point when we pass from this life into next. We know that there is forever and ever and ever that's talked about in the Bible. This life will pass. We will close our eyes. We will go to sleep. We will die. And then we will be in the next life, eternity. And so for us in this parable this morning, eternity, it hangs in the air for many, teetering back and forth, not sure sometimes how to give fully oneself, myself, to either direction. Paul says, Romans 12:1, listen, brothers, sisters, I plead with you, give your bodies to God because all that he's done for you, let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Then you'll learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. Have you ever had scrambled eggs and bacon? Have any of us ever had scrambled eggs and a slice of ham? Have any of us this morning ever had an omelet with bacon in it? Any of us ever had bacon, avocado, Swiss cheese omelet? Not bad, not bad. But if you look on that plate, you notice there's eggs which come from a chicken, and ham or bacon which comes from a pig. And you ask yourself this morning, which one had to give more so that we could have a breakfast? Well, we know that the chicken laid some eggs. It made a small sacrifice, but it still was allowed to live. The pig, on the other hand, for you to have bacon, and I don't want you to think about the next time you take a bite of bacon, if that, you know, will hurt you and offend you and make you cry. But if the next time you take a bite of bacon or ham, you understand that pig gave its life fully so that you could have breakfast. This is one of the things that are talked about, number one, in our text and our parable this morning. Eternity is given to those who fully give themselves, not as a chicken, but as the pig who offers itself fully to God. What did Paul say? I plead with you, give yourself to God because all that he's done for you. Let them be a holy and living sacrifice. What's a sacrifice? It's like the pig that gave its life so that we can have ham and bacon. It gave itself fully. Paul said the same thing. I urge you, I plead with you, I beg you, in sight of eternity, heaven, give yourself what? Fully to God this morning. Fully. Fully, fully, fully. Number two, our parable describes life. Our topic today is superpowers, which all of us have. Our parable, the talents. Number one, describing eternity. Number two, describing life. And in this parable, there's an image of living. There's an image of breathing. There's an image of happiness. There's an image of success. There's an image, because all of us this morning described as someone, a man, a woman, who lives or feels or breathes to an image that we try to live up to. Ephesians 5:1 says, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you're his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us, offered himself as a sacrifice for us. Paul said in Ephesians, imitate God. Have you ever watched someone try to play basketball who really sucks? They're like under the hoop, a foot away, and they're trying to just throw it up there, and they miss every time. And then you look at someone who's got the natural skill, and they just fling it up, goes in, shh, every time. There are so many people. We see sometimes someone who's good at football, good at baseball, good at basketball, good at skateboarding. And then how many of us try to imitate them in something that they do well? God created us to imitate one, and that was himself. Imitate God, Paul says, in everything you do. He didn't say imitate God in a couple things that you do. Imitate God what? In everything you do. This morning we're talking about having superpower. This morning we're talking about on Resurrection Sunday the reason that we're here, the reason that God has created us. And we know, one, it's for eternity. Two, we know it's for who we live for and who we're supposed to imitate. If we look around and ask ourselves, have I ever imitated somebody? Have I ever tried to live someone else's life because I see something that I want? Because that person has something that I want. So I'm trying to imitate them. I want to be like them. I want to be as good as them. I want to be like them. I want to dress like them. I want to talk like them. We, in case you didn't know, have a world full of imitators. And it's a wonder why no one's happy, because they're constantly trying to imitate someone else instead of imitate the person who gives them life. Number three, our story. How many of us have ever realized life is in the details? Our story in our text, the parable of the talents, there was three people who were all given tasks. Two succeeded and one failed. It was seemed like pretty clear, simple in instructions. There wasn't a lot of backstory given to us in the text. Jesus shares a parable. But if you were alive in this day, if you were living and breathing, and if you were asked, here's $1 million, I want you to go put it to work, there was two places you could go and you can earn a lot of money real quick. One was the church. Believe it or not, back then, people took money to the church. They invested in the church. The church made money because they were selling animals and they were trading currency. Right? There's a little dirty stuff going on, but anyway, we won't go there. But you could take your money to the church and you can make a living off investing in the church. Secondly, if you took your money to the bank, you could make money on interest. So it seemed that in the details, in the instructions weren't given. It just was here, take this and do something with it. But it was being alive in the moment, in the day that they lived, that they understood how easy the task was that was given to them. Instructions and details are very, very important. Understanding, like Joshua 1:6 says, be strong, be courageous. You're the one that will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to your ancestors I would give them. Be strong, very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions that Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them. Turn either to the right or the left. Then you'll be successful. Successful. Turn to your neighbor and say, are you successful? There's only one way, the Bible says here, to be successful. Study the book of instruction, detail, continually. Meditate day and night so that you are sure to obey everything in it. God gives us every single day, waking, breathing. Here is the path to success. Because how many of us, going back to being imitators before, have ever seen a rich business person and been like, ah, oh, I wish I had Elon Musk money? How many of us have ever seen a movie and any one of us ever dreamed of being an actor and been like, ah, yeah, I wish I was playing that part. I wish I had this. You know that money without God is really just a greedy, stingy person. Love without God is really a self-seeking, serving feeling. Every single person, if we look and if we study musicians all over the world today, musicians, artists, actors, how many of them still committing suicide, even professional athletes, still having affairs, still getting married, still getting divorced? Doesn't seem like their life is so perfect and easy. So many young kids looking up to, oh, here's the idol that I want to be like. And a person who's the idol, they can't even carry in the weight in which they live because they got something. Maybe they didn't deserve it or didn't know how to handle it. Success in life, it's not determined by how much we have, but success in life will always be determined by what's inside. And many people constantly struggle with that one. Fourthly in our story is stewardship. Nice, lovely word. Managing time, ability, money, and most importantly, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Gospel of Jesus Christ. Stewardship, time, ability, money, and the gospel of Jesus Christ. How much time do we have? Well, we have 168 hours per week. We have 10,080 minutes per week. And we have 600,000 seconds per week. And I wonder, with all those, and you do have to minus sleep because some of us do like to sleep and get our 6 to 8 hours a night. But if you were to look at time in general, we were to ask ourselves, how am I a steward of the time that God gives me? And how much time during my week do I spend simply thanking God for life, giving Him a little bit of my tithe with my time and saying, God, I'm going to read my Bible app. God, I'm going to bust out the Bible. God, I'm going to come to church on Sunday. A little bit. If we have 168 hours per week, you think about it. Church is no more than 2 hours of that. So that leaves 166 hours. If we were to pray 1 minute a day and just say, God, help me through this day. Help me to handle whatever I'm going to face. That takes seconds. And we have how many seconds per week? 600,000 seconds. And so this parable topic, superpower, is the ability to understand the power and the things that God gives us every single day. And a very big part of that is, how do I steward my time? How do I steward the ability and the gift that God gives to me? The Bible says the earth is the Lord's. The earth is the Lord's and everything belongs to Him. If God created it, God made it, it's His. We're just here. We're renting. Most of us in here, we either own our home or we rent, right? If you own your home outright, that means you've paid off all the money it took to buy the house. Some of us rent. It means we're paying somebody and it's like going in a bottomless pit, right? The ability that God has given to us, we are renters here on earth. And what we do with our life is a stewardship. What we do with this life, it's a stewardship of the ability that God's given to us. You think about money. The Bible talks about tithes and offerings, taking 10% of your income as a reflection and giving back to Him. And then there's four different offerings that are talked about in the Bible that you give above and beyond your tithe that blesses the community. Money, 10%. Offerings a little bit more to be a blessing. Stewardship, time, ability, money, and the most important one, how do I steward the gospel of Jesus Christ? The gospel of Jesus Christ, the most powerful love story, the most powerful action, crime, thriller that's ever been done before. The Jesus Christ betrayal, hate, love, it's full of everything. The gospel of Jesus Christ. I'll never forget when I was forced, when I was probably 12 years old, to go to the Hemet Bowling Alley, our beautiful bowling alley when I was 12. And we went with our youth group. And a youth pastor said, we're all going to go out and we're all going to share the gospel. At 12, to be honest with you, I had no idea. Even though I went to church every week, when you're young, most of us, we go to church and we're young just to have fun and goof off, right? Let's be honest. So at 12, we go to the bowling alley. And then our youth pastor forces us with a machine gun. He did. You are all going to start sharing the gospel. Go find someone and start talking. And I'll never forget, I walk up to somebody, had no idea what I was going to say. But when I was done, I don't even remember what I said. I don't remember, but I can remember that 1 second. I was like, you know what? That felt really good. I had no idea what I was talking about, but something about it, it felt really darn good. When's the last time, as a steward of the gospel, did we share with somebody, not knowing maybe fully what to say, maybe a little scared, maybe a little timid? I don't know what to say, I don't know what to do. One of our members who's really sick and ill, I saw him the other day, and he tells me, he lives in a mobile home park, and he says, you know, I've gone through almost half of the park passing out invitations and trying to invite people to church. Poor guy, he can't even stand up. His knees hurt, his back hurt, but he's out there trying to share the gospel and be a good steward. How do we steward what God has given to us? Most of us in here, if we're honest, let's think about priorities. Well, we got to work, right? Got to pay bills. If we have family, we got to take care of family. If we've got pets, got to take care of the pets, of course, right? How many of us have the list of priorities? And we know that humanly, we have to take care of all those things. But if God is not on top of that list, and it should be God first, and then my job, God first, and then family. Because if God's not first, we're not doing anybody any good. Because God himself is the one who teaches us and instructs us and empowers us to be better than we can be on our own. God alone gives us. The Bible says in Galatians, it's the fruit of the Spirit. God will produce in you something you can't produce on your own. And in that production, you will become a better man, a better woman, and a better human being. But if God's not first, if God's not first, if the job's first, even if the family's first, whatever it may be, if it's other than God, it's not gonna work. Stewardship, ability. Romans 12:6 says, in God's grace, he's given us different gifts, doing certain things well. If God's given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God's given you. If your gift is to serve, serve people well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage, be encouraging. If it's giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Stewardship, the ability. My ability is to God first. He's given me life, everything within me I have because of him, and so I give back to him. I tithe my time, my ability first to God because it's what he's given to me. And lastly, Matthew 6:19, don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them, where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasure in heaven, where moss and rust can't destroy. Thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there your desires, the heart will be also. Be a steward of your money. Don't store up on earth. Store up and give to God. To steward the gospel. Number 5, blessed to be a blessing. We've all heard of it. Abraham, he was called to be a blessing. But the big thing is, because all of us, we want life to go right. How many of us, we want life to go right? We want to post. We want people to see. We want people to hear. We want a blessing. We want to be able to have enough. We want to know the bills are paid and there's extra running over. We talk about the blessing, the blessing, the blessing. I want to get to that point of being here. It's always the blessing, the blessing, the blessing, the blessing. But God, the most important part of the equation, it's not the blessing, it's to be the blessing. It's not the blessing, even though it's nice. Yes, it's nice to be blessed. It's nice to get big paychecks. But many of us know the more you make, the more they take. Hallelujah, right? So, and usually the more you make, the more you spend. We get so focused on the blessing. I want to be blessed. I want to make this. I can drive this and have this and own this and get this. And as soon as we take our mind off being a blessing and we're so focused on the blessedness part, we're going to lose out on the blessing. God has made us to be blessed. But the reason to be blessed, it's for one reason only. It's so that we are a blessing. Number 6, accountability. Our text and our parable today talks about accountability. And one day, God will judge the earth. Hebrews 9:27, one person is destined to die once. After that, comes judgment. Hallelujah. Sounds so lovely, doesn't it? You know what's weird about this story? There's three people given a task. They're all given the same task. Two did something and were successful. The other man decided to not do anything and he was not successful. But what did Jesus say about this man? He cast him into hell for not doing the one task that he was asked to do. Three people given all simple tasks. Why was that? Well, I think that it's because there's a war within all of us. John 10:10, the Bible says the thief comes to steal, kill, destroy. Jesus said, though, my purpose is to give you a rich and satisfying life. All of us, without realizing that there is a war between us. We have the devil on one side. We got Jesus on the other side, an angel, and they're both trying to guide us and help us and lead us in the direction in which to go. How many of us sometimes at the end of the day, we're wore out, so tired. Sometimes even in the middle of the day, so wore out and so tired. Maybe it's not just because we're physically tired. But maybe we're spiritually tired too. And spiritually tired because the war is raging. If the devil was never coming after attack you or your family, if the devil was leaving you alone and everything seems peaceful, like how many of us have ever said, when I try to serve God, all hell breaks loose? Right? When I'm trying to do better, all hell breaks loose. So you know what some people do? They give up. Well, if the devil's coming after me, I might as well just shut my mouth. Might as well not do anything. Ho-de-do, right? If you are living for Jesus, you are going to fight with hell every day. Because the devil wants to take as many people to hell with him as possible. Just like God, the Bible says, how come God is taking so long to come back? It's not because he's just hanging out at the park, having a brunch. It says he's patient and he's waiting for as many people to repent and turn to him. There is this absolute war, dark versus light, good versus evil. There is a massive war going on. And right now, even in some of you, there is the devil. Don't listen. Don't take heart. Don't listen to the Bible. Don't change your life. Don't get out of sin. Right now, even the devil, a little voice of saying this. Such a war and such a battle, because God's purpose for you is freedom. God's purpose for you is a rich and satisfying life. But the devil also has a purpose for you, and that is to steal, kill, and destroy. So many people are worn out from the battle, not realizing it's the spiritual battle that's been tiring. We think it's the physical world and day and time that we live. No. It's that the spiritual battle is raging. Maybe it's hotter, bigger than it's ever been, because it seems that the end could be next week, next year. It seems that all of these things are happening and shaping and taking place. This battle is raging on. Man in this story, notice that he told his boss no. And what were the reasons that he said to his boss, I don't like the way you do your business. Why was he working for him in the first place? I don't like the way you do things. Why was he there in the first place? Maybe he was sold as a slave, so maybe he couldn't, you know, maybe he had no other option. But he tells his boss, I do not like the way you do things. Secondly, he says, I was worried and I was afraid. I don't like you. I don't like the way you do things. And I was worried and I was afraid. I was afraid of the outcome. I didn't like the way you handled your business. So critical. You know, every single person, and I've done it as well many times, sometimes so critical of leadership and job places, of the way that they do things. And then sometimes, if you ever notice, if you go from a worker to having a little bit more leadership role, that it's not the easiest thing to do to be a leader. It's not the easiest thing to do to have more responsibility and more leadership responsibility. Notice in our story, in our text, two men took simple instruction, they did something with it, and they benefited from being obedient. One man was critical. I don't like the way you do this, so I ain't going to do nothing for you. How many people today in our country, no offense, don't like the president? So they say, you know what? Like this guy in the story, I don't like what you do and how you do it, so I'm not going to do anything to support you. Right? The guy in the story and the guy in the text, he took his life and he buried it in the ground. I'm going to wait another 2.5 years till the next president hopefully has a better government, and then I'll come back out of the ground. There are people who are living their life like this. Not just towards the president and the government. Let's just be real. It's about God himself. God, I don't like the way your Bible, you told me I can't do this. I can't be like this. I can't do this. So I'm going to run. I'm going to hide from you. I don't like being told no. We're going to get to that word no. Turn to your neighbor and say no. No. You know, being critical comes from being insecure or being a perfectionist. Being critical comes from a defense mechanism to mask fear and vulnerabilities. Sometimes blaming our past hurts on present moments. Being someone who's critical, sometimes it comes from past hurts, but we're going to take those past hurts and we're going to blame them and bring them into the present moment. Being worried, being afraid. How many of us would say that's normal behavior? It's okay to worry. It's okay to be afraid. But if we knew, okay, it's normal to be afraid, to be worried, it's normal, but it's also costing me something better. Yeah. I could be afraid every day. Yeah, I can be worried every day. Yeah, I could choose sin over God every day. It's normal. It's normal. It's okay. It's normal. But being normal is going to cost you something better. We're going to read the resurrection story, Matthew 28, verse 1. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake. An angel of the Lord had come down from heaven, rolled aside the stone. He sat on it. His face shone like the lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him. They fell in a dead faint. The angel spoke to the woman. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you're looking for Jesus. He was crucified, but he isn't here. He's risen from the dead. And just as he said it would happen, come see where his body was lying. And now, go quickly, tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead. He's going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I've told you." The woman ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy. They rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them, greeted them, and they ran to him. They grasped his feet and they worshiped him. Whoops. And last verse 10. Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee and they will see me there." We're going to bump your neighbor this morning and say, "You got the Jesus glow? Do you have the Jesus glow?" So this morning, our theme and our topic is what? Superpower. Superpower. Our text, our original text, was the parable of the talents. And then our ending text was the resurrection story. How do all these things, in our lovely video there, A. Parker, she's Jesus glow, right? How do all these things fit in place? Well, let me tell you. You know, the resurrection story, it's real simple. Jesus came to this earth because humanity was broken. Let's be honest. If we look around today and say everything in life is perfect, peanut butter and jelly, the perfect amount of peanut butter, perfect amount of jelly, everything in life is perfect. Everything is so good. You're ignoring. There's a war going on, in case you didn't know. There's an economy that is suffering. Gas prices are outrageous. One out of two people are starving to death. Everything is not fine. Everything is not good. If you think it's perfect, you're lying to yourself. And more than that, someone's lying to you. Jesus came here so that he could be the piece to the formula that that heals humanity. Humanity is broken. Sin breaks things, damages things. It does. Jesus came. He died on the cross. He gave his body as an offering. But on the third day, what happened? The resurrection story. Jesus rose to life, giving the power over victory over sin and death. So not only here on earth, he gives us the power to live victorious, to be blessed, to be a blessing. God gives us the power and the greatness to walk with our head held high. Why? Because I am a son or a daughter of the King. Not to brag, not to be proud, right? But it's just, I've chosen to give my life to Jesus. All of us in here this morning, at some point, we probably enjoyed, and maybe some still do, watching superheroes. Thinking, dreaming, wanting. Many of us in here dream and look for love. But if you were to take these two, love and being a superhero, where does the feeling come from? It comes from God. God put it in you. God put that desire to want to be a superhero inside of you. God put that desire for love inside of you. Why? Because in this morning, understand, if we're all looking for superpowers, what's the number one superpower people want today? The ability to heal. And you know what's crazy? It's something that God offers. Ability to heal. Paul, he said the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is here and available for you today. Jesus said, Holy Spirit, when it comes upon you, will give you a power. It's like a dynamite, a very loud, powerful explosion, might, all these things inside of you. The Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, available for you today. So we take the resurrection, which gives victory over sin and death. We take the parable of the talents, which is the choice. I have to choose to do something. The servant who did nothing was what? Wicked and lazy, and he paid and went to hell. Because why? He did nothing. Your stewardship of the Bible is the most important thing. If you don't do it, you're gonna pay with your life. If you don't do what the Bible says, you will absolutely pay with your life. Jesus gives us victory over sin and death, but we have to make the choice to follow, to be a steward. I'm here for God. Thirdly, the greatest, to me, superpower was their song, Jesus Glow. Because if you see people who have the Jesus glow, there's nothing in the world like it. A soul that's on fire for God. A smile, a laughter, a joy that comes from heaven and not from this earth. A Jesus glow is a superpower that transforms people and says, I need and want what you have. God, this morning, says, listen, I created all of you to have superpowers. Just some of you don't want it. Some of you don't want it. So this morning, as we get ready to pray and close and get out of here, I have one last verse, I promise, and then we're done. 2 Corinthians 4:7, which is also going to bring up my next theme. It says, we have this light shining in our hearts. We ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure that makes it clear that our great power is from God and not for ourselves. We have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves, we're like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. We're pressed on every side. We're not crushed. We're perplexed, but not driven to despair. We're hunted down, but I'm never abandoned. We get knocked down, but never destroyed. Because through suffering, our bodies continue to share the death of Jesus. The life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Apostle Paul describing what it means to be a jar of clay. Little side note, upcoming new theme, jars of clay. God's created us to contain superpower. The superpower, knowing it's not for me, it's from above. God has given you the ability and the talent to be a superpower in this world. And the only way to do it is to simply follow his instructions. What are we doing with the gospel? Let's pray.